Continuing discussion of Sri Vishnu Sahasranama, name 983, Anna, generally understood to mean food. Sri Parashara Bhatta explains this name to mean Vishnu means he who is enjoyed. Anna, food. We enjoy food, but Parashara Bhatta gives a more broad meaning, he who is enjoyed. The object of enjoyment by those who have been blessed by him with the power to enjoy him. With the idea that a real devotee doesn't see anything enjoyable except Krishna, and he is everything for them. Pure devotees enjoy life with a thrill at every moment, and that thrill is Krishna. Sub-commentator V.V. Ramanujan refers to Namalva's Parashuram to his devotee. To Krishna's devotee, everything is Krishna. Food, yes, anna. We have an appetite, we feel hungry, we eat, we see this is Krishna. We feel thirsty, drink water, this is Krishna. And betel leaves, taken after food, they see only as Krishna. Now, of course, we in the Gaudiya Sampradaya, at least in the line of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, we don't take betel leaves, but they are offered, should be offered to Radha Krishna deities. And in some sampradayas, especially the Grihastha devotees, take that as prasadam. So for the devotee, continuing this quote from the Pasaram of Namalava, his name, glorification of his qualities, thinking of him, even better than satisfying the hunger and thirst and seeing the food and water as Krishna, is that the devotee finds food, satisfaction, enjoyment in glorifying Krishna and thinking of him. And then they don't feel hunger and thirst. This is their food. Krishna consciousness is food enough for the pure devotees. We can see how advanced we are if we're at that level. All this talk about enjoying food, enjoying Krishna, enjoying anything, the impersonalists will be horrified. Why are you talking about enjoying? You're supposed to, well, what's this? You're wearing saffron cloth and you're talking about enjoying? For the impersonalist, the whole idea of enjoying anything is anathema. Srila Prabhupada writes in his Gita commentary, Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 2, text 63, discussing how the spirit of enjoyment, trying to enjoy anything in this material world, it's dangerous for the transcendentalist. So Srila Prabhupada writes that for an impersonalist, the Lord or the Absolute, being impersonal, cannot eat. They have the idea that the Supreme cannot eat because that's enjoyment, and there's no enjoyment in the Supreme. That's their idea. Prabhupada continues, whereas an impersonalist tries to avoid good eatables, a devotee knows that Krishna is the supreme enjoyer, and that he eats all that is offered to him in devotion. So, after offering good eatables to the Lord, the devotee takes the remnants called prasadam. Thus, everything becomes spiritualized, and there is no danger of a downfall. No danger of a downfall. If we take Krishna prasadam, of course, Srila Prabhupada writes elsewhere, that if one does take prasad in a spirit of enjoyment and thus overeats, that will lead to downfall. But the general principle is, the idea is that we should offer good food to Krishna. And then we take prasad. Again, sharira vidyajal dharendriyate kal jibhefale vishaya sagare. This is the means to conquer over the rapacious tongue.
Food, give me more food. I want food. Stuff it in.
No, we think how to offer to Krishna. We can give any amount of food to Krishna. And it's not a question of him stuffing it in. He can eat everything. He does eat everything. He eats the whole world. We'll get back to that. Srila Prabhupada writes in his purport to Canto 3, Chapter 21, Text 13 of the Bhagavatam, that the power to taste when one enjoys by eating prasad is perfected. So we have these senses, and the impersonalist idea is to just close down all the senses. But Krishna consciousness means to engage the senses in the service of the master of the senses. Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Ruchate. To engage the senses in the service of the master of the senses is called bhakti. Sevan mukhe hi jivado swayameva spuratyada. Ata Shri Krishna namadi na bhaved grahyam endiyai. Sevan mukhe hi jivado swayameva spuratyada. The name of Krishna and everything about Krishna is not manifest to the mundane senses, but by having the service attitude, engaging the senses in the service of the master of the senses, beginning with the tongue, Krishna reveals himself. Now, beginning with the tongue, this specifically refers to chanting the name of Krishna, but of course, the tongue is both a karmendriya and a gyanendriya. It is a working sense, that means it's used for vibrating sound, and we are recommended to vibrate the sound of the name of Krishna. And it's a perceptive sense also, so we taste through the tongue. So that very strong desire to taste, that to enjoy food, that power to taste is perfected when one enjoys by eating prasad. Of course, there's a higher level also. Sharira vidyajal, yeah, we can dovetail this propensity to enjoy eating by taking the vow only to take Krishna prasad. And generally Krishna prasad, that we know, Srila Prabhupada has given us very delicious, so many items, but sometimes we may get very plain. But even if we get very plain prasad, our vow is to take only prasad and not to go somewhere else to eat something else which is not offered to Krishna. Yeah, but the higher level, where devotees don't want to enjoy prasad, they think this is only for Krishna to enjoy. I'm not meant to enjoy. We see this in the character of Madhavendra Puri. He was seeing how nicely Krishna is being served, the Gopinath deity in Remuna. And he was thinking, oh, such nice kheer is being offered to Krishna. If I could just taste a little, I could understand how to make it. I could get some idea how to make it. Then when I get back to Vraja, to Govardhan, then we'll offer that also to our Gopal there. Then immediately, Madhavendra caught himself and thought, what am I thinking? Oh, this isn't good. I'm desiring to taste that food. It's only meant for Krishna's enjoyment. And you know the story, how it unfolded. And Krishna gave him some of that kheer so he could get the idea. Raghunath Das Goswami would take so little, practically he was not eating. He came to the point when he was living in Puri, he came to the point of eating the rice prasad, which had been discarded, and even the cows wouldn't eat it because some smell was coming. He would take that. Then when he was in Vrindavan, he was living, he would take maybe a little butter or buttermilk, just a little bit in, just little, once every 2 days or so. And then he would chastise himself that now I'm engaging in sense gratification. Such a mood, thinking that everything is for Krishna, only for his enjoyment. Here's another somewhat amusing anecdote from the life of Srila Gaura Kishora Das Babaji Maharaj, who was Sakshad Vairagya Murti. He was directly the manifestation of Vairagya, or non-attachment to anything in this world. So once on the day of Sanatan Goswami's disappearance, he announced to the devotees, today we're going to have a great festival to honor the passing of Sanatan Goswami. And his servant, Bihari, said, but Maharaj, Babaji, we don't have anything. You're totally renounced. You don't have anything. Where are you going to get everything needed for a festival? And Babaji Maharaj said, we'll have a festival. We don't need to bring anything. We'll fast all day and chant Hare Krishna. That was his idea of a festival. Chant the holy name of Krishna. Your food will be Krishna. The whole of the Divya Prabandha is seen by devotees, our revered counterparts in the Sri Vaishnav Sampradaya. They see the whole Divya Prabandha as Anna, means the different Aravas enjoying Bhagavan. This concept is very strong in the Sri Vaishnav Sampradaya. We don't emphasize it so much, at least we haven't heard this from our Gauriya Vaishnav Sampradayas, but Acharyas. But they have the idea very much that Krishna is very enjoyable. Let us enjoy him. He's made himself available so that we can enjoy him. We emphasize, following Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that the mool, the inner feeling of the Gauriya is simply how we can serve Krishna. And then naturally we feel happy, we enjoy. But in the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya, of course they emphasize that, the sharir shariri bhav, he is to be served, and the servants, very strongly they emphasize. Kain karya, the opportunity to personally serve the Lord. But they very much see the Divya Prabandha as anna, food, or descriptions by the great devotees of the Lord, how they're relishing him. An example from Namalava, again. Oh my Lord, you are brilliant like a dark ocean. You are the first cause of all the universes. It is your nature to remove the defects in the likes of me. When I think of you and the beauty of your reclining in the milk ocean, I'm so, such a deep experience that my legs can't hold me up anymore. My mind is unable to comprehend your beauty. and my eyes similarly experience. Then Kula Shekhar Alva says, when I sing your glory, your great feat of destroying or subduing the seven terrible bulls, lifting up the whole earth in your form as Varaha, coming as Rama and destroying the wicked Ravana, tears of joy come into my eyes and overflow just like a river. Shankaracharya explains, the name Annam, Adyate iti Annam, that which is consumed by all beings is Anna. Since he is the sustaining power present in all food, consumed by all beings, he is called Annam. So what is it about food? What's the big thing about food? Food means it's something which sustains our life. That's the ability of food to sustain us. That sustaining ability, Shankara explains, that is Vishnu. Otherwise, we can scientifically analyze, you eat the food, you eat some rice, anna, and it has so much carbohydrate, so much protein, so much minerals, and that sustains the body. You can analyze scientifically, but how does it all work? That is Vishnu. Another meaning Shankara gives, that one who eats, specifically he says, he who consumes everything at the time of universal destruction, pralayam. Krishna Datta Bharadvaj, another revered commentator, says that anna means breath or life. Anna pranane. So he links it to prana. We already had so many names with prana. And he gives the explanation that by giving the devotees his darshan, showing himself to the devotees, he sustains their life, therefore he is anna. So he comes to the same point, but the devotees are sustained by the Lord, who is therefore called anna. They come to it in a different linguistic way, but come to the same point. Baladev Vidyabhushan says that by his, Vishnu's, Sankalpa Shakti, by the power of his desire and determination, he himself becomes that enjoyable substance, anna, such as the divine taste and fragrance that exists in the spiritual sky, which is attained by sacrifice. Remember, this anna is very much linked with all the 12 names we just had about sacrifice, yajna. Therefore, he is called anna. So there we have it. Anna, food, is the basis of life. Life is sustained by the consumption of life. Yeah, we eat food. What is that? Food means jivo jivasya jivanam. It is the inherent principle of nature or life in this material world, that one living being eats another living being. With the life is sustained like that, the physical life. Now, sometimes meat eaters say that, well, vegetarians, you're also eating life. But actually, if we eat rice or wheat, that rice or wheat is harvested and eaten after the death of the grain. That means when the wheat becomes yellow, that means it's no longer growing, it's no longer living. The jiva has left. So that we take but it was living. You just can't start eating earth, dirt. You can't digest that. It should be some living thing. Similarly, fruit we take from the tree, it doesn't destroy the tree. We take milk from the cow, it doesn't kill the cow. But it's from a living being. We have to take food comes from living beings. Living beings take living beings. Consumption of life, in many cases, involves destruction of life. That's most true of the meat eaters. Of course, they could just eat animals which die naturally, and there are animals which do eat bodies that have died either naturally in the course of time, or just like in the jungles in Africa, the lion will kill some other animal, maybe a zebra or an elephant. They eat some, and then the hyena comes and eats. So, like that, there are animals like hyenas, jackals, vultures. They don't kill themselves, any other living being, but they take the food which is left over, the leftover killing by others. And vegetarian also, if we're going to eat spinach, we can just take the leaves, or we can cut it so it grows again. There are different kinds of spinach, but some kind of harm is done. So the very principle of living in this world means to take something else which is living. Even I say we take wheat or rice, but even to grow that, it's already the jiva has left the body of the rice plant from which we harvest the rice. But then to do agriculture, you also have to plow the field, which involves killing some animals, even walking in the field, some tiny little insects. So it's the law of this. Sustenance of life is the highest principle. When Srila Prabhupada was asked, one question came up, this is in the 1970s, in the Andes Mountains, there was a plane crash, and it was very cold, several of the people were killed, several survived, and among the survivors, the question came up, because they were stranded for several days in the freezing cold in the mountains, nothing to eat, and among them, the question came up, well, if we're going to live, the only way we can have any hope of living is to eat the dead from the dead bodies of those who died with us. And some agreed to that and some didn't. And those that did, they survived and they were eventually rescued. And then a whole question came up, was it moral for those people to have eaten a human body? When Srila Prabhupada was asked about this, the question was put to him by his disciples. He said yes, because sustenance of life, of human life especially, is the highest principle. Of course, the human life should then be used for developing God consciousness. So sustenance of life is the highest principle, which requires anna, Vishnu, food. But then harming any living being is against that principle. So how do we balance the principle of consumption and the principle of sustenance? Then we come to sacrifice. By offering to Krishna, everything becomes purified. In sacrifices, often animals are offered. Annamai kosha, the body is called the Annamaya Kosha. It is the covering of the jiva, the upadhi, the designation, the sheath. Kosha literally means sheath. So the body is called Annamaya Kosha, or it can be considered a level of consciousness in which one thinks only in terms of food. So the body which is maintained by food, that is required, but then the body is meant for developing higher consciousness, God consciousness, Krishna consciousness. But consumption of food means impinging on another's life. So therefore there is ritual purification within religion for purifying eating. So only that consumption, which is done with the sense of sacrifice, with the idea that we are offering to Krishna to purify, and we're maintaining the body for developing dharma, only that is within the scope of dharma. Otherwise we become sinful. Yagyashishtasena santa muchante sarvakilvishai bhunjate te tvagang pa pa yepa chanti atma karanat. Unless we offer food in sacrifice and take that as food, if we take anything else, if we cook simply for the pleasure of our tongue or the sustenance of our life without offering it in sacrifice, it becomes sinful. But offered in sacrifice, that purifies our consciousness. Now, most of the offerings in a sacrifice are edible. Generally, it's edible things. Food for the devatas is offered, and they in turn bring prosperity to man. So offering and consuming are both there in a sacrifice. Each participant offers as well as consumes. Each participant means you offer to the demigods, you offer to them, they consume the fire and the grains which are brought to them by Agni, fire. And those who offer in the sacrifice, they also take yagyashishta, the remnants. So offering and consuming. So violence and consumption of other living beings is inherent in nature, but it is sought to be minimized or purified by dharma, by religious consciousness, particularly sacrifices are there. So eating, anna, when it's performed as a sacred ritual, there are two aspects: offering, consecrating, purifying, and then consuming. By taking food, we also take the consciousness of the cook, and we also have to take some of, we take a karmic result of the jiva whose body we are consuming. But if the food is first offered to Krishna, then he purifies. He cleans away the karmic reactions. So this understanding of the word anna is a very deep understanding. By offering to Krishna, we get prasad, which is we offer to Krishna, he gives back to us. We take prasad with the understanding that this is given by Krishna, this is purified by Krishna. And in the Smriti Shastra, which are the practical guidelines for how to execute dharma in this world, so there are guidelines on how we have to offer food, how we have to consume it, what kind of food is to be taken. And there are many, many factors. Food is a huge part of Vedic culture. A basic outline is given in Bhagavad Gita. Three kinds of food in terms of the modes of material nature. Ayu sattva balarogya sukha priti vivardhanaha rasya snigdas thira hridya ahara sattvika priyaha. Foods dear to those in the mode of goodness increase the duration of life, purify one's existence, and give strength, health, happiness, and satisfaction. Such foods are juicy, fatty, wholesome, and pleasing to the heart. Then, katvamla lavanat yushna tikshna ruksha vidahinaha ahara rajasasyeshta dukha shokamaya pradaha. Foods that are too bitter, too sour, salty, hot temperature-wise, pungent, hot, spicy, dry, and burning are dear to those in the mode of passion. Such foods cause distress, misery, and disease. Yatayamam gatarasam puti paryushitam chayat uchishtam apichamedhyam bhojanam tamasapriyam. Food prepared more than 3 hours before being eaten, food that is tasteless, decomposed, and putrid, rotten, and food consisting of remnants. Remnants means here remnants of ordinary people. We should take the remnants of Vishnu's food. Wives should take the remnants of their husband's food. Disciples should take the remnants of the guru's food. But to take just some leftovers, which any ordinary person has taken, that remnants and untouchable things, things like meat and garlic and onions, such food is dear to those in the mode of darkness. Then, general rule, anna has to be distributed in yajñas. This is also mentioned in Bhagavad Gita. Vidihinam asrishtanam. Asrishtanam. Here we have the word annam. Vidihinam asrishtanam. Mantrahinam adakshinam. Shraddha virahitang yagyang. Tamasang parichakshate. Any sacrifice performed without regard for the directions of scripture, without distribution of anna, prasadam, spiritual food, without chanting of Vedic hymns and remunerations to the priests, and without faith, is considered to be in the mode of ignorance. So these are general details, and there are many, many details about who should eat what and how they should eat it, given in the Smriti Shastra, considering the varna of the person and the jati of the person. In generally, Brahmins should be vegetarians. Generally, not always. There are cases in Shastra of non-vegetarian Brahmanas also. And even there are specific vegetables. Garlic and onions, they're vegetables, but they are out. And there are others also, which traditionally in Vedic culture, Brahmanas don't eat. And it'll be different in different parts of India also. And then, according to the kind of rules one is following, during Chaturmas, there'll be more rules, which means less kinds of food can be eaten. If one is initiated into performing a yajna, then during that period until the yajna is finished, the yajaman, he is initiated for the yajna, the sponsor of the sacrifice, and then he has to sleep on the floor, very restricted in his eating, and so on. And then according to the devata being worshipped, because each devata is propitiated with a particular kind of food, different devas like different foods. So depending on who you're offering to. There is a widespread misconception that it's all right to offer to Kali and eat meat, and that's also allowed in Shastra, but it should be understood that Kali, being the wife of Shiva, who's a Vaishnava, is vegetarian because he's a Vaishnava and vegetarian, therefore she only takes his remnants, so she's vegetarian. So the meat that is offered to Kali, and people take it as Kali Prasad, but that is actually the remnants of the food which is accepted not by Kali herself, but by the hobgoblins, witches, bhutas, pretas, who are associated with Kali. So it's ghosts prasadam. Then, another important point about sacrifice, how whatever good food you offer, all the things you do, if we lack internal purity, we can offer so many nice things to Krishna, but if we have no internal purity, then our whole offering of sacrifice is like offering ghee into ashes. This is stated in Narada Purana. We know the case of Duryodhana, the king. He wanted to invite Krishna, and he, no doubt, being offered food by a king, he's not going to just give you some rough rice with a little bit of garden spinach. He's going to give something very opulent. But Krishna didn't want to take because Duryodhana's mood was not pure. So, Annamai, it's the first kosh, the first level of consciousness. Thinking of food, 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 food. Like the baby. The baby can't think of much else except food. That's all he knows. Then we have to come to pranamai, gyanamai, vijnanamai, anandamai. These are different levels. So the first level of understanding, food. For those who are just on the level of food, they can start to appreciate God. But as is stated in the New Testament, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So, understanding God as food is good. There's a lot more to be understood. Appreciating Krishna Prasad is a good start for many who are not interested in Krishna consciousness, but many people have started by appreciating prasad. But still, it's good that they should know. Srila Prabhupada wanted in the restaurants, Krishna conscious restaurants, that it should be written on the wall what is the meaning of prasad, so that they're not just eating prasad. That will benefit them, even if they don't know. It's a good beginning for them. But Prabhupada wanted that they should know. He even said that distributing prasad among the general populace, especially because devotees were becoming enthusiastic to distribute prasad to poor people. And Prabhupada said, without kirtan, along with distribution of prasad and some speaking about Krishna consciousness, he said it's nonsense. So prasad is a good start. Anna, sayanamrita pau, nectar food given by Krishna. But we should appreciate Krishna in all respects, not just for the tongue. Vancha kalpa thrupyas chakripas indubhya evachapatita anam pavane bhyo vaishnave bhyo namo namaha.